Welcome to Cybersecurity Shall Be C-Level Priority, the podcast that puts the digital world to the test. Cyber attacks are on the rise, and data is the most valuable asset in today's world. But how can we protect what matters most to us? Drawing on the latest insights, effective strategies, and practical tools, we'll show you how to create a more secure digital environment. Because one thing is clear, security isn't negotiable, it's a top priority.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Cybersecurity Chef Sash, the podcast. Today with Fabian. Hi, Fabian.
Hi, Nico. Happy to be here.
We've known each other for what feels like an eternity. Back then, at my old employer, we already worked together when you were still at RWE or Inochi, and I kept following your journey and found it super exciting that you, so to speak, looked into various other areas from critical infrastructure. That's why I'm even more pleased today that we found the time to chat and make a podcast together. But before we start with the topic, for everyone who doesn't know you yet, a few sentences about yourself. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, cool. First of all, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation, which I gladly accepted. What have I done so far? I am a trained electrical engineer, but I never really started in that field. I had a relatively short stint as a software developer as well. But I realized that there are people who are much, much better in that area than I am. And then I actually spent a long time at RWE. I started there in critical infrastructure in the OT network security area. I worked there for a total of 6 years, and I really gained a lot of experience on all levels, from being a trainee to a project manager. So really, layer one was in the trench. I was there splicing fiber optic cables, building over SDH, PDH technologies, then implemented routing, switching, firewall up to application firewall to build highly secure critical infrastructures, and then specifically the substations on network control systems so that we continue to have electricity. Then I had an opportunity to get into awareness. I think we'll get to that later. I really enjoyed it. I liked it, did a lot, and don't want to tease too much away. It's a topic I've been working on for 8 years now, and I'm still passionate about it. And then after the critical infrastructure, I had the opportunity to start a small group in the holding at RWE MIT to build up the entire cybersecurity area. Super interesting, super intensive, and learned a lot in one way or another. Good, I already had the hairstyle before, so it had nothing to do with that. I then took care of everything that somehow had to do with governance or identified itself as governance, then took it over, and the topic of awareness was involved again. And the last 2 years, I focused on software development, built a management system, bringing together various fundamentals of business continuity, quality, and a lot of information security. And in the last year, I even got to explore as the CISO of this organization, besides the management system, and gained a lot of experience again. And recently, I have been working in critical infrastructure again, but this time in a different region, specifically in the food sector at Aldi TX. That's where I'm working. And once again, awareness is a key focus, and it's going very well so far.
You've already forgotten an important point. I also overlooked it. You were officially the CISO of the Year 2024, also CISO of the Year, which was a great recognition for your performance and also for the performance of your team at that time. So it clearly shows that what you're doing is apparently right.
That was indeed a team effort. First of all, thank you for that. It was simply a Herculean task, and it was very important to me to show that it's not just thanks from me or from the executives and management, but also that an external and independent, more third-party panel, jury more or less recognizes what great work was done as a team, that we really moved an enterprise management system. It was all great and also very intensive experience that I was allowed to have.
Today, we also want to talk about one of your favorite topics, namely Layer 8. For everyone who is now thinking, what is that anyway? Layer 8. It's mainly about people, and some even call it the human firewall. I'm not a fan of that because a person cannot be a firewall, but how do you see the topic, Layer 8?
I find it absolutely important you can see that again, and Nico, maybe you can agree with me or counter it right away, that technology is absolutely important, that it is the foundation for everything. But in the end, it's still a person who stands in the defense chain of security. And it's not just the technology that does it, but there are also targeted attacks from classic phishing, spear phishing. They are becoming more creative. Deepfake, everything exists, and that's it. Is it a topic that is partly tackled by technology, but above all, it must be recognized by humans that one deals with it, that one simply sees, how do I recognize it? And I can already tell I'm getting into it. So this is just a very, very important part. And that's why also ISO or OSI layers, those are the technical terms that are added. And for me, layer 8 is simply part of it. You can have the best firewall rules. If the phishing email gets through with the right bait, if I'm a cat fan and it's a new cat photo, then I might be more inclined to click on it than if I'm a dog lover. So you have to see how it works accordingly. So therefore, a very, very important topic.
I completely agree with you on that. For me, it's just this topic, which is often misreported, that humans are the problem of problems. Especially this topic of layer 8, when it is chosen as the issue. Oh, we humans are the problem. We humans are, so to speak, the weakest link. And I always have to say I find that unfortunate, because of course a human is to some extent, yes, also a human. We are not robots, we make mistakes. And it's also good that we make mistakes. And especially in the field of cybersecurity, a human is often part of the problem. But he is just not only the problem, and especially as you mentioned this topic of technology, human processes in the context of the company, we often forget that, and we tend to always focus on the human. And you clicked on the link and you did this and you did that. And I don't know how you see it. I am also a human. And yes, I also click on phishing emails. And yes, I also click on other links. So I am just as affected by it. And often this person is gladly taken as the scapegoat for the fact that we now have a problem with cybersecurity because the person has done something now.
I find humans actually super fascinating because they are just so individual. In the end, technology is ones and zeros. If you break it down completely, those are ones and zeros, and every person is individual and also has different experiences, also works in different fields. So that's when I now go into campaign management, or rather a program for wellness. You can cover a basic level with a broad approach, but you don't reach everyone with that. And that's a lot of balance. It also says, how can I include people? I see it exactly the same way that it's being set up today. And that's the most important link between everything. Because even in technology, there are people who program it, and we look at where it's going, or the recipients of emails, they are also people. And that is the strongest part of the defense chain. So in that sense, it's called the human firewall, or rather the human firewall. I see it more as a metaphor that one is taught what is good and what is not. And even if you click, I never want to claim that I wouldn't click on it. It's much more exciting. I think, how do I deal with it? And I see that as the task for such an awareness topic. If something happens, please don't sweep it under the rug and walk away whistling, but really, how can I properly address it to the right places? And that is somehow still a jumble of information. Not just professionally, that's a core issue, but you also take it into your private life. I find that very important. Very important to consider, because everyone is somehow digitally affected, whether privately or professionally.
You're addressing an important topic for me, because one thing is the person in the context of the company, but we are all also private individuals. And of course, we have challenges privately just as we do professionally. And often in this awareness phase, one forgets that, which is why I always focus on awareness in the private sphere as well. That awareness doesn't stop when I leave the company, but awareness is also there when I'm not at the company. And that always brings me to the question that I would ask you, why do you think are people often referred to as the weak point? Or why do many say that people are the biggest weakness? There are such inflammatory campaigns where it is said that over 90% of successful cybersecurity attacks start with human error.
They are, of course, very confrontational, such statements. So people are definitely very, very important for the topic, why they deal with it and how they deal with it. And that is rather the task. How do we actually get them there, so that they can recognize such things? Because if I don't know about something, how am I supposed to know how to deal with it? And the thing with personal matters is then a nice bridge from my point of view, this cybersecurity awareness is a very rewarding topic, precisely because it is used privately. It provides tips and tricks for me at home that you can apply just the same. And then not only protect yourself, but also you and your family and your private data. Because honestly, if I were to lose my private pictures where my children are young, then I would be super sad. And I think my wife might, well, I don't know if she would still be my wife for long. That there are accordingly very sensitive data behind it. And so without people, there is no business. And in the end, we always do professional work with business. That mostly works only, not mostly, it is only possible between people, and technology is a tool to carry that out. And then it's more like, I would say, like a driving school, a driver's license, you first need to know the rules, how to handle it. You have, and then also take your test, but also familiarize yourself with how to handle it. And that, I think, is simply life. And above all, no. And a negative error culture, I think that's really toxic. So that you really say, watch out, ideally tone of the top. So as I also tell the senior management and top management people, if you click on it, it's not a problem at all, please. So make it a priority, then report it, please. We are prepared for it and share it. So rather the proactive communication in the sense of I did something, and then better once too often than too little, so that it is handled correctly. And that is to go into it.
I think it's also important here to address the topic of psychology. I mean, we are all human, and especially in a stress reaction, in a stressful situation, a person reacts differently, and many forget that, especially when we talk about this topic. How can I do awareness properly? Because I also said in our preliminary discussion, for me, awareness is dead. Not because I'm saying awareness is bad and we shouldn't do it, but the way we've been doing awareness for years since I started with cybersecurity, it's always the same way. Yes, there are some gamification approaches. Yes, there are other types of training, but it's basically always this theme. We do a phishing campaign. We do some online training, an in-person training. In the end, it's somehow always the same. And what I miss a little there is this. A person simply reacts differently in different situations, and especially when there is stress. Let's really take the example. I have a company that is currently being encrypted by ransomware. I just can't expect that from a human being to say, I'll sit down now, get my document out, which I, of course, printed and left somewhere and is not on my computer, which is encrypted. Then I calmly look at the document, see my step-by-step guide here, and then in the end, I do everything right. But it actually goes differently. Then, as I always like to say, the headless chicken mode kicks in. Everyone runs around in confusion and no one really knows what to do. And then mistakes happen as well. I think it's important to incorporate this stressful situation into awareness. I've been a fan for years where I say, we need to do more of these red and blue games. Also in companies, especially this testing, what happens now? When things really hit the fan, when I truly no longer have access to my computer, because all these simulations that are often done, I think they're good because they go in the right direction. But then again, I don't like them. Because they have the problem that they don't include the stress and hectic levels. And in a simulation, I can always say, yes, I might not have access to the computer anymore, but that's so abstract. But when I really do such a, let's say, blue and red team game where I truly have no access to my computer and can't even use the phone a friend option anymore, then that's a completely different aspect for me. And I have to say, I find that especially in relation to layer 8, this psychological topic and dealing with the situation, it is often neglected for me.
I fully agree that every person, I'll just add, that not only under stress or anything else, also from the entry points, how I am susceptible. Some are very helpful, while others are more stress-oriented, or rather not stress-oriented, but tend to succumb to stress under pressure, and that this is simply then taken into account, that it goes in that direction. And with the red teaming and blue teaming, I find that very, very good. But I do think it would be very time-consuming to conduct this on a whole level from children that is heroic, I think. But what I would see as a good approach that is actually when you conduct red teams, that at least is in the management summary, that comes out maybe not in detail, but at least in the management summary. Also, then also made public within the company, just to show, look, this really happened now, very, and that, yes, maybe it shouldn't be like that, but we still drew the golden ticket as world teams.
Yes, and what I also find important there, sorry to interrupt you, because that is also what in these, you and Retigen always fall short for me, that you also involve the people. For example, involve the management in the decision-making so that they also understand. It doesn't help in this active situation to put more pressure on IT and ask, when will it finally continue? When can I work again? What does it look like? No, people, let them do their work. They are already under enough stress. They don't need someone from above hitting them with a baseball bat, hoping that it will go faster. And I agree with you. You can't implement this the same way in every company, but I think this awareness topic is also important, that management needs to understand how my company operates in such an exceptional situation. That must also be clear to the people. And I agree with you, especially the topic of creating management reports and sharing these reports, I find extremely important, because only then can you truly create this awareness throughout the entire company. So they understand, okay, what happens in such a situation?
I think that simply this also with the incidents that occur in the company, the phrase might be overused, but there are two types of companies, those that have been hacked, those that don't know it yet, and that you simply deal with it accordingly, and that it's not something that happens far away on another continent, but it's here, and how you deal with it. And that's where creating awareness comes in again. Not everyone needs to understand it in the smallest detail, but if you already say, okay, this can happen here too, and then like everywhere you also see the fire direction when there's a fire, everyone knows, okay, it's been a long time since I heard something, but in an emergency, I need to go that way to get out safely. I think the same applies to digital security awareness, that you simply also, through recovery and also training, that you simply carry out, not in the sense of waiting for a fire to break out, but rather looking, how can I react afterwards? And that's what's more important.
But you just gave a great example, which I also see repeatedly, and maybe also your opinion on it. Why aren't there cybersecurity drills like every time in the company a fire drill? Why do you think we still can't manage to conduct a cybersecurity drill similarly to a fire drill?
There are companies where this is done and they are there, I believe, much more resilient than those who don't do it. I have experienced both sides and seen that when you practice it, especially both, I emphasize this twice. When you practice it, then in such crisis situations, you avoid the headless chicken mode, which I quote here, I found it good that you at least know who you need to bring to the table to move forward in a real scenario, and that this is not the right way, just hammering away, and that you make progress, but also then in rent break phase. So now we've discussed it, now we'll move on again in the near future. And that in the next meet phase, we then look at what the latest updates are, so that you really understand the situation step by step in every way. And ideally, at some point, again, get ahead, meaning that you know how to get your business rolling again. Because in the worst case, such a ransom would bring any company that has a server and cloud environment and so on to a halt.
That includes such a topic for me as well. I've often heard this from management. You conduct such training sessions, you create such awareness, and people still fall for it. And then this statement always comes up, yeah, why am I even doing this? And then I always think, well, you haven't really understood the concept of awareness. With awareness, you won't be 100% secure. That doesn't exist anyway. Aside from that, but it's just that it's also not like a person becomes fully aware after one or two training sessions. Still, exactly. They don't fall for it anymore, because on the other side, attackers also have completely different possibilities through AI. And if you look at the quality of phishing emails, when I started with cybersecurity, I still remember that some might know them, like when you've sold something on eBay or eBay Classifieds. Now it's just called Classifieds, not an advertisement. But when you've sold something there and then provided a PayPal address, then I often receive some emails from Scott, the DAD AM, with this spinning GIF of the Scott and Yard logo with very broken English text, like saying, hey, you have become a victim of fraud. Please do not transfer the money, but instead transfer it to our account, and we will take care of it, and so on. I still remember those times when you immediately said, yeah, okay, that's a phishing email. Nowadays, you really get emails that are pieced together from context. They really have content, which sometimes, even in terms of graphic design, come very close to the original or already imitate the original very well. Even spelling is no longer a problem because, of course, the attacker can now use AI. Even German spelling, that's not a big deal anymore. Where you can clearly say, of course. It's still normal for people to fall for these emails. And there comes your sentence again, which I also found super important. This topic of being able to handle criticism. If I click on a link, I shouldn't hit the employee over the head with a baseball bat and say, oh, you fool, you clicked on it. But rather, I should look at it and ask, hey, what can I do differently? Or even reward people sometimes. Hey, oh, who doesn't know this? From the IT department, you receive per day? No idea, 10,000 emails sent, and out of those 10,000, maybe 5 look a bit suspicious. And then you get annoyed about why these 5 emails have been reported. But those are always 5 more that have been reported than no emails being reported at all. And I always see the problem, or rather the challenge, not the problem, that's the wrong word, the challenge to deal with it, and also to see how can I enable people more to do something and not just demotivate them by having them receive the information again, so to speak. Hey, are you stupid? You fell for it again?
I like to work with analogies. In such cases, because security, even with awareness, is always a bit abstract. And I also see it as very important that you always translate this security language into a business or normal language a bit, where everyone can relate. And I take an example in the sense of, driver's license. There, everyone actually knows how it should be in an ideal traffic environment, but accidents still happen. And that's essentially the same in the cyber environment. That's simply when something happens, how to deal with it. And then, you know, okay, if that happens, I report it to the police, to the defense. You also know the procedure. That's what it's about. Accidents. In the sense of incidents, in this case, it can't really be avoided, but I find it much more important to notice that something is happening and then report it so that the situation is responded to correctly.
What measures do you see that can now affect the company and especially your experience, aside from those we've discussed, whether it's a phishing campaign, an online training and so on? What is it personally your way to go to prevent, well, people, meaning the layer 8 errors? So what, aside from that, also this topic keeps coming up again and again. Yes, technical measures are one thing for me, but technology isn't everything. So what would you advise people, recommend, who now say, hey, I would like to think about it, what more I could do now?
From a top-down perspective, I would actually say consider positive KPIs, because in the end, we are still a company where you have to prove such things, have these measures that you, no matter which, we'll get to that in a moment, choose. Are they effective or not? My favorite example is, don't take the click numbers. As you said, the quality fluctuates. And also, depending on the mood of the day, you get different topics. But the reporting rate, that's something much more important. That's actually, hey, cool, you recognized it and reported it. That's something entirely different. Hey, you clicked on it, but you can still report it. That's something good again. And that's already like the same story, different mindset, and a completely different significance from my perspective. What helps is, not everything off the shelf is good, but always bring in the personal context of the company or organization. And very importantly, don't just think about the people who sit at the laptop every day, but also, I'm sure in every company there are people who are on the go who work with the right technology. And I don't mean servers, but it can be substations, it can be large equipment, it can actually be, I now work in a branch or in a large warehouse building. They are all involved and should be included in a way that is appropriate. Not in the same way as an IT admin who has root access, but by entering the context. And that, I think, is what makes a successful program, not just the watering can approach, like a web-based training, where you quickly get your tip in the box and can pass an audit more easily. And if you really want to establish a sustainable security culture, you need to find the right language for the environments. I don't mean the language, but rather finding the language of the environment.
What can be said very clearly? Ben will be happy about this, because we just had a discussion about it recently. Cybersecurity is not a marathon, but rather a hamster wheel. So it's not like when you start a measure, then somehow you can say, okay, now it's over, or I can expect results in 1 or 2 weeks. Instead, it's really always a constant issue that you have to take care of. And as you said, you also have to think about it. Do I give the umpteenth training again? Or do I tell my people to do the umpteenth training? Or do I try to do something like blue and red team or a simulation, whatever it may be? Do I try to bring in something new so that I don't always get stuck in the hamster wheel of the same topics? Because then, of course, it's also clear that people no longer understand the added value behind it. If they get the same thing every year.
I think that's good too. So not too much. You offer a whole range of measures that you can do, but in well-measured doses. Dosage, not doses, in dosage. And that you consider, as you said, it's endless. I like the idea of a hamster wheel. I actually once mentioned a marathon, but that's more like an ultra marathon, which does eventually end. Hamster wheel is nicer. So what we actually take along some highlight topics. So I don't have a concrete example, but it happened to me once. We had a really well-running live hacking session that was well-attended and actively requested by the business. And then came COVID. With live hacking, it was no longer possible to be on-site in Teams or anything else. And then you have to adapt to the situation again to then find something that also works digitally, ideally scales well, and is still adaptable for the different areas. And I think you can't just sit back after a year and say, now I have my portfolio together and I'll run it for 5 years and everything will work out. That doesn't work. There, it is necessary to have something new, new content.
What are the most common mistakes for you that one can make in cyber awareness?
If you do something wrong, there's a punishment mentality. I see that less and less. But that is really, I think that's like this. We have a policy here and everything. If you violate it, then you get a warning. I'm exaggerating on purpose now, but that's then, I think it's more about turning it around, but also strengthening awareness so that you go there. And just also a tip that I like to share, exchange ideas with others. I find that super important too. So if you think you always have to reinvent the wheel because no one has done it before, there is a really great community in Germany and beyond with awareness. So just listen in there. There are a lot of things because in the end, we're all on the same team and want our companies to be secure. And there are many opportunities to get involved. So I think that this negative approach, I believe, is one of the biggest mistakes, trying to do everything alone, to rethink everything, which is not necessary at all. Too many resources and time are often sometimes used for that.
For me, the issue of dry content and lack of practical relevance is clearly one of the most important topics because you have to look at yourself as well. Hold yourself accountable. If something doesn't interest me, what do I do then? Then I might have to do it because of compliance. But for me, it's like this in one ear and out the other. So that's also a common issue I see, especially in relation to awareness. When I'm out as an auditor again, I often notice there's an awareness program that's set up in a very dry manner. A few clicky bunty pictures, a presentation that feels 10 years old. And yes, who are you going to engage with that? And then there's always this topic for me, this team spirit. I always say this very deliberately. For me, the connection with a company or the identification with a company has changed significantly, whether that's negative or positive. Everyone can decide for themselves. But I have repeatedly noticed during my time, even in consulting, that many employees have a different bond with their companies than when I started with it 11 years ago. Not meant positively or negatively, it's simply a different bond. So this solidarity for a company, standing together even in a crisis, especially when it comes to things like cybersecurity, that has changed. And I noticed that you have to take people along with you so they understand, okay, what does such a crisis mean for my company? The best example is, for instance, I have experienced this myself, that a company is affected by ransomware and many employees simply went home. They said, I can't work, I'm going home. Which, as I said, is not a judgment. I don't mean it negatively at all, but I mean the identification behind it, okay? It's a crisis and I'm going home is something different than when the employee understands, okay, what does it mean when the company is affected by such ransomware? How long is such a downtime? Or what can I do now? Can I perhaps work with pen and paper now? Or can I do this and do that? For me, this is always a major source of error that I see in awareness when you simply don't involve the people. And we've already touched on one topic. When you focus solely on this company, because let's be honest, that has changed too. If you click on a phishing email in the company and something happens, then you usually tell yourself, oh, there's a cybersecurity department for that. There's an IT department for that. They'll handle it, right? But if I click on such a link privately, right, then it's a real emergency. So how often do I get calls from my circle of friends or family? Oh, Nico, I clicked on the following link. What's happening now? Have I been hacked now, or can I do this and do that? There's a completely different pressure on it because it's about me. Personally, it's about my data. It's about my identity, so to speak. But with a company, it's different. And that's why I also think you gave the example of life hacking. I also like to do life hacks, but only in a personal context. So I don't show what it has to do with the company context. Instead, I show, hey, how does this affect you personally? How do people access your personal data? What data can be found on the internet? And so on and so forth. Because for me, that's also, so to speak, the mindset change. And that's also the last mistake that I see in cyber security awareness, that people try to influence it through technology, processes, or whatever. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you have to change the mindset of the people. Must, because cyber is a societal issue. And without changing this mindset, you will not succeed in other areas either, because it is always related to that. And for me, that's just the biggest mistake that you can make in cyber awareness.
What I would like to add, I completely agree with you, is actually your slogan that you brought along. That is also so important, that cybersecurity is a top management issue. If the top management fully supports it, and ideally even has resilience or security listed among the top priorities, then it's a completely different perception. So it's really not just, yes, I did the WBT and now everything is fine, but when it is actually lived, and that's this culture, 100% awareness is culture. Or culture, I don't want to say culture change, but it is definitely a culture that can support in this direction. That's where I see such campaigns or programs as meaningful again, because not everyone has to be an expert in everything. So there are compliance experts, for which I am grateful that they also get their input. The same goes for data protection or other compliance topics in the end. And that's where I also see such security topics to engage the entire workforce there as well. I also see that as a responsibility content-wise through such an awareness team, but opening doors. Do I find your podcast title absolutely correct? Cybersecurity is a top management issue. And that is, from my perspective, where a lot stands and falls.
If we now take a look, we've talked about the negative. Let's talk about the positive. I see a trend right now in this area of gamification. And I have to say, I find it a super great and interesting topic, because I also have a positive example where many people say, hey, that always costs a lot of money. When I introduce something like that, where I say, no, that's not true at all. For example, we had a customer where we also told the CISO, look, start with gamification, with a reward system, to simply engage your people with the topic or make it interesting for them. And by reward, I don't always mean you have to somehow allocate 1,000 euros. Sometimes small things are enough. And with them, we introduced a monthly security quiz. Do you have to be a bit like Werbert Meyonnier? Imagine they then meet online once a month for such a quiz. There is a pre-qualification, who can participate in it? And then they really do cybersecurity questions, but always in the context of the company. So not like, I don't know, what is ISO 27001, but really questions about the company. For example, am I allowed to pick up a USB stick that's lying on the floor? I know that's the running gag, but also the question, I know it just came to me. Am I allowed to plug it into my computer? And then at the end, there is, well, so to speak, a result of who has how many points. And then there are always prizes, small prizes. For example, a discount in the cafeteria. They might get a free meal, or there was some company merchandise that was, let's say, a bit better than the standard stuff. Or there was the opportunity to attend a security event. There was a congress and they provided a ticket and so on. So they always think about these things. What is available? So really minimal effort, because truly a kind of advertising millionaire style, that's not really difficult. Nowadays, you can do it very easily with ChatGPT and the like. It's also very easy to create. So you really don't have to invest much work. But it just showed that they had such a rush for this event. And as I said, the prizes weren't such that you could win a Ferrari, but really something small. But it still generated so much demand and so much enthusiasm that it was once off. It had to be cancelled. Once for health reasons, and people complained. They said, hey, why isn't there the quiz? And that was a nice effect. That was exactly the point. You could always tell the mindset change had set in. People find it cool. Certainly. You could do it now without prizes. And who knows how it would be received then. But it's such a small topic. You give someone the opportunity to become interested in the topic. Of course, you hook them. We always do that somehow. But it eventually led to it being completely accepted somehow, and that people always look forward to it. They even made a quizmaster for it. Really, in a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style, with a bit of humor and fun, and that stuck in people's minds.
I think it's a cool thing, and I completely agree with you. You can spend something on gamification, a little, a lot, but what I think is much more important is that it's creative and funny. So not just this. Like a policy being written down, but really approach it creatively. How can you do that? And also gladly, the security, I don't want to make fun of them, but a little shine a humorous light on it, how to deal with it. And I think that's much more important. I've also had little things like giving out t-shirts, and it was also with a contest, and it was always like that prestige steal. They walked around proudly with the t-shirt and said, look, I rest, you do nothing. Well, that's, of course, the other side of the coin, but at least it is then even won publicly. And people were proud that they achieved that. And that's also what you said, reward appreciation. So it doesn't have to cost anything. And otherwise, you can also draw from the universe that exists within the company, which is creative, which perhaps wasn't intended that way, some online platforms or tools that are actually meant for presentations, just repurpose them. So that's, I believe, creativity and humor. I think those are my answers. And this is not broken down into a specific measure, but it should be pervasive.
And you mentioned an important point, and that is also another point for me to successfully create awareness. This, I'm trying to think again what you said, but for me, this feeling, you are part of something. So this appreciation was the right word. I also find it important that people understand, hey, I am part of this solution, because that's also a topic again. One gets criticized, everything is crap. Why do you do it like this? Why do you click on the link? And so on. It's also a great feeling to convey to people, hey, you have now been part of the solution. You reported the email. You have now ensured that no one clicked on it. You are part of our defense strategy. So to turn the table, so to speak, and not leave people standing there clueless what happened with the email or whatever, but rather give them the feeling, hey, awesome. You were part of our defense. It was great that you did that. That also strengthens one's own security, or also, I would say, the self-awareness regarding the topic. And it also creates a sense of togetherness. And that's where I say, you don't need money for that. You don't need any effort for that. Yes, well, you always have to respond. But this feeling of giving back to people that they were part of the solution, a part of the defense, that also simply creates security for oneself. And I find it so unfortunate that many don't do that. To say, hey, let's just respond to that, or we provide the information about what happens with it, because then you create this coherence again.
Exactly. These are all adults who can logically understand, and that you simply communicate there. It's not a one-way street, and above all, very important, also not doing it from a security perspective. So not just for security purposes, but there's a meaning and purpose behind it. Either you want to protect people, also the individuals as their information, and then just to shift a bit, the information assets that a company holds, and that's where you need to find a good balance. And that's also in the direction, if you can then achieve this sense of togetherness, that's really nice. Defense Chain said, I find it very, very nice that you can achieve this team structure. And my experience is also that if someone gets excited about it, even if they're not usually in this security community atmosphere, it is contagious. I've also walked through a cafeteria, and they then, without us doing anything major, then really talked about the latest security topics. And that made me really happy that they finally got there. Occasionally.
And I think that's where we come to my conclusion on the topic. I don't see the layer 8 issue as the biggest, or rather, let me start over. Layer 8 is not the biggest risk for me. Layer 8 or is a potential risk. But for me, it's also a great opportunity, because if I include layer 8, meaning the human element, we've already talked a lot about it, how you can involve them, then it also becomes my defense wall or a possible defense that I can incorporate. And I think one shouldn't penalize this layer 8 topic by saying layer 8 is my biggest problem or layer 8 is the most frequent problem. But I shouldn't be like AI, which can be both positive and negative. The layer 8 topic can also be positive and negative. And for me, it's clearly more positive if I bring people along, if I don't just brush people off and say, you won't understand anyway, it's none of your concern, but I see this time and again. The topic is so new. The topic is so exciting, and I have so many people, they have nothing to do with IT and such, but still find cyber great. They always think to themselves, also, I'm just interested now, I'd like to know more. And then there's often this topic, yeah, you don't need to know. It's not important, it's our part now, and so on. Bring people along, see how they react. They can decide for themselves in the end. Do they need it? Do they not need it? But that's why, for me, layer 8 is more of a big opportunity rather than a risk.
100%. I also see it absolutely positively here, involving those affected, so that really then they are involved. You get awareness. You are a very, very important part. You can't do that with technology alone. There are the funniest memes on social media, but that is simply super important. And it doesn't work at all without people. They are very, very important in this.
And I think that's also important. It's just not, in quotation marks, a mandatory program that you should impose on yourself. I always say security is not just about ticking a box and getting a certificate, but you should do it out of your own motivation, because then it only works. Of course, there are always topics.
Nothing better than intrinsic motivation. I completely agree with you.
Absolutely. There are always topics where you say, okay, well, I have to do it. But for me, that's never the driving aspect. Rather, you always have to look at how you deal with it. Fabian, I really enjoyed it, especially discussing with you how you view the topic of cyber awareness. And I'm quite sure we'll hear more from you. And I'm curious to see how the topics on the other side of critical infrastructure will continue to engage you. I thank you for this episode, and I would say that's it for this episode. Cyber Executive Matter. See you next time.
Thank you for invitation. For Nico.